Last week we had a reading that some of you may remember by Reverend Dr. Michael Brown. And it talked about a woman who had a small child, a six-year-old, and the woman lost her husband, the child lost her father. And the woman didn't want her child to grow up bitter and angry and negative. So what she said to this little girl was brilliant. She gave her a glass jar, and she gave her some crayons and some pieces of paper. And she had her label, the jar, blessing jar, in her own little handwriting and crayon, and they taped the label to the jar. And each day, with her little crayon, she would have her find one good thing about the day. One thing to be grateful for. Now, you can imagine for a six-year-old who just lost her dad, this wasn't always easy. So sometimes the things weren't that good. But it was something, every day, something to be grateful for. And at the end of the week, mom and her daughter would sit down, they would pull out the slips from the week, and they would go through them. And they would think about, here are, even though we're both hurt this week, here are the good things. There was good. The end result was that that six-year-old who had just lost her daddy grew up to be a pretty darn positive, self-assertive, self-contained young woman who was able to look for the good even when the world wasn't so good. November's a month where we all hear, be grateful, live in gratitude. Let's talk about gratitude. Let's talk about Thanksgiving. Grateful gets thrown around a lot, especially if you are online often. It is trendy to be grateful. Let's face it, it's beyond trendy. If any of you have been on Pinterest or Facebook, if you have been on Twitter or Instagram, it feels like you are getting hit in the face with posters that say, live, love, laugh. Every other thing you see is about gratitude. Gratitude list, mindful gratitude practice. And the thing is, when you look at all of this, and even when you look at some personal conversations you have about gratitude and being grateful, it's all bloody perfect. It is absolutely perfect. Because most of this stuff isn't about gratitude at all. It is about ego. And so all this stuff paints a perfect picture of this world that our friends are grateful for. And I'm among the guilty. I put out those marvelous grateful posts, and by God, they are perfect. It took me an hour and a half, but I made them perfect. They paint that picture of the world for everybody to admire all the marvelous things we have to be grateful for. So legs and feet on a beach with the caption, too blessed to be stressed. Hashtag grateful. So a glorious picture of a $120 steak, a $14 baked potato with a $52 whiskey. And the message was, so grateful for the little things. Hashtag grateful. I want those little things. My favorite was a very filtered picture of a coffee mug, hands holding the mug. There was perfect barista art in the mug. The mug actually matched the nail polish on her hands. It was just gorgeous. And the words said, hot coffee and the smell of snow, perfection, hashtag simple life. And I keep waiting for someone to do a commercial. You know, new porcelain nails, $68. Overpriced, overcooked coffee drink that I bought at the place because it had the right color coffee mug, $489. Realizing that you did get a picture before your kid knocked the cup over while screaming, priceless. Being grateful for all of the amazing and perfect and lucky and beautiful things in our lives is great. You should. You should be thankful for the good stuff you have. I drive a Lexus. I'm not kicking anyone I'm really grateful for it. I worked hard. It's not what I'm saying. I had to think, though, about why those pictures felt bad. I'm grateful for my morning coffee. Sometimes I look at my art supplies on my desk and I think how beautiful the colors look together against the hardwood of my work table, which is about this color. And I could take a picture and I could tag it, grateful for beauty this winter, but I suddenly realized I would never take that picture. I would never take a picture of the actual scene that had moved me to gratitude. And I can tell you, it's a mess of jumbled paint stacked in a rack. 8 or 9 half-finished paintings, some rags of all colors. That would be the wild jumble that moved me to appreciation. But I wouldn't take that picture. I would fix it. First, I'd move my car keys, which were part of that glorious bunch of color that moved me to appreciation. I don't want them in the picture. Somebody might see how many keys I have, how messy. Well, then I'd move my mouse, even though the blinking red light was what drew my attention to how beautiful the colors were. I'd move that because that looks messy, right? Well, and then I'd have to wipe off the table and actually move all those papers over because I'd want a better shot, you know. And what I would actually show wouldn't be what I was grateful for at all or worth anything whatsoever. I saw it, I appreciated it, I destroyed it. And a light bulb went off in my head. This is what is bothering me about those pictures. They weren't the real things we were grateful for. They were the tidied up versions. Instead of having authentic moments to share, instead of having real moments of gratitude, of understanding that what you were grateful for was the messy version, what you were grateful for was the little girl's handwriting in messy crayon, I would have created a curated moment, a staged moment. I would have reenacted my gratitude, only better. It's what it would have looked like if that mother went through those children's slips and rewrote them every day in perfect Palmer method handwriting, nice and round, and then put them all on Pinterest, grammar corrected, of course, so that everyone could see how her brilliant child was grateful. Those perfect online pictures, those perfect holiday letters, even those perfect conversations with friends where everything is not quite real and everything is tidied up, those aren't the things that anyone is really grateful for. Staging gratitude, whether we do it online or in personal conversations, murders something important for us and for the audience we are sharing with. It takes away all of the things right outside the frame. It takes away all the places where we are grateful in spite of, and simplifies everything to being grateful for. So we're back to that conversation about I'm grateful for my stuff. It removes all the context. And worse, it removes the place of contrast, where we are choosing to live in gratitude and looking for the good. And worst of all, it leaves nowhere for grace. When we find joy, when we find that spot of warmth in the midst of the dark or the discomfort or the pain, that is where the gratitude in our lives is the most beautiful and the most healing. That is the point where what we are being offered by life is grace, a moment of unearned, unlooked for, goodness. Modern culture bombards us with the message that grace, well, it doesn't matter so much. And gratitude, well, it's pretty. It has to be pretty. On a daily basis, we are told that gratitude is heartwarming and uplifting. I don't know if any of you watch commercials anymore. I know I avoid them like the plague. But every holiday season, I see at least one. Usually it's the wife coming out of the house and doing this because her husband has bought her a car and there's a big red bow. And she is so grateful. And we all know that happens in our own lives, right? Multiple times. She is so amazingly grateful. We hear heartwarming stories of everyday heroes who do things and are rewarded from unexpected sources. And they are so grateful. I just saw a lovely one, and they really are lovely, where a woman who'd been a maid all her life got invited to a home and told, well, we've had a little error. We accidentally cleaned the whole thing yesterday, so would you help us taste test this $1,000 meal that we're going to be serving to the guests tonight? And they kept doing it to her throughout the day. So she tried out a massage. She taste tested food. She tried on clothing. And at the end, it turned out that a group had given her the house and the food and the clothing. It was all going to be hers. And she was so grateful. She stood and cried. We see that stuff. The internet is full of it. Something happens and we realize, oh, it's a Hallmark moment. I should see the gratitude here. But there was a study in Current Opinion in Psychology in 2016, and it found that those perfectly curated shots don't make people seeing them feel better. They make people depressed. They make you depressed when you go back through them and look at them. Because the reality that you really were grateful for suddenly doesn't feel good enough. People are drawn together. People are comforted not by gratitude for amazing abundance, not by gratitude for curated abundance, but by moments of grace, even in the face of adversity. People are drawn together by gratitude in spite of the circumstance, not by gratitude for the expected awesomeness of life. It's not to say gratitude for that cup of coffee you just went in, bought, and got the good cup is a bad thing. It's not. But we share a deep human bond in the presence of pain, and even more so in the presence of unexpected beauty in the midst of gritty reality. And I thought about this for a while, and I thought about the boats in New York Harbor the day of 9/11. I don't know how many of you remember, but I sure do. When the towers fell, the next thing you knew, fishermen were turning back. Guys with 16-foot pleasure cruisers were turning back. Guys with private yachts were turning back to the harbors, ferry boats. And they were loading people on as fast as they could. They weren't asking what color you were, or if you were gay or straight, what religion. No one asked anyone, are you a Muslim? They just loaded people on their boats as fast as they could to get them away, to get them to safety. And people watching, even the news crews, were weeping at times, because here were these guys who didn't have to do this. One fisherman who ferried people for 9 hours without a pause told the local news, I'm so glad I can do this here. I just knew I had to come. She asked him how many trips he had made. He was currently at 32. Gratitude finds meaning. It makes meaning in life. Writer Julia Cho, the author of Elephant's Journal, writes, gratitude finds meaning and hope in the context of life in all its fullness, in both the glorious and the horrifying. Corrie ten Boom, a Dutch survivor of the Nazi concentration camps, shares in her book, The Hiding Place, how her sister Betsy found things to thank God for, even in a camp. Cho writes, she thanked him for the fleas infesting their tent, something that confounded Corrie. But it later proved useful when the guards avoided their barracks because of those fleas, and the women were given more and more freedom. Brother David Steinel Rast, a Benedictine monk, writes, gratefulness is the inner gesture of giving meaning to our life by receiving life as a gift. For all of us, gratitude and grace are gifts given. Lois and Carol talked a few weeks ago about why it's so hard to accept a gift, to accept help, to accept being on the receiving side. And one of the things they mentioned is scorekeeping. People keep score, and they're afraid of others keeping score too. Who do I owe? Who owes me? Have I kept everything even? Do I have anything to be ashamed of? Am I taking too much? Julia Cho writes, in a world where we are always trying to keep things even and pay people back, it's humbling to receive something we haven't earned. Even though life is hard and we're not perfect, there is this redemptive thread of goodness that we find running through it that surprises us. She writes, it's often dark and infested, but still the gift. This kind of gratitude feeds hope, not our ego. When we edit our lives publicly and privately to show and be thankful for the perfect moments, we're editing out the moments where grace enters in. Being grateful isn't tame. Gratitude is wild. It's not about the perfect moment on the perfect vacation that you paid for and expected. It's not about the perfect steak or the coffee. It's fine to be grateful for those things, but that's not what it's really all about. True, deep gratitude doesn't edit. It's about the fleas in the concentration camp. It's about a messy child's crayon written on slips of paper, noting what was good about days after her father died. It's about sweating, exhausted fishermen saving people from terrorism. It's about finding the joy in the beautiful, messy table of your life without cleaning it up to make it presentable and accidentally removing the pieces you were really grateful for. You can't tell somebody you're grateful for being sober without saying, hi, I'm Amy and I'm a drug addict. You have to put the dirty out there with the clean. Grace slips into our lives like the cracks in the darkness. Grace, whose unplanned, unexpected moments of goodness find us. Grace finds us all, saint or sinner, somewhere in between. And it's in those moments, those wild, uncurated, unedited moments, that we are truly grateful and that we can model both gratefulness and grace to other people. A bouquet of roses you bought with easy pocket change is lovely. Sure, be grateful for it. A rose which clawed through concrete to grow beside the highway where you spotted it on your drive to work, well, that's exquisite. Don't cheapen it by photoshopping out the road and replacing it with a fake silk backdrop. Live your life in deep gratitude for the wild moments of grace. Celebrate your own fleas. Celebrate your mess. Celebrate the real. Celebrate the grace. Be thankful. Amen.